A long time ago, in the province of Tamba, there lived a rich merchant named Inamiraya Gensuki. He had a daughter called Osono. As she was very clever and pretty, he thought it would be a pity to let her grow up with only such teaching as the country teachers could give her. So he sent her, in care of some trusty attendants, to Kyoto, that she might be trained in the polite accomplishments taught to the ladies of the capital. After she had thus been educated, she was married to a friend of her father's family, a merchant named Nagaraya, and she lived happily with him for nearly 4 years. They had one child, a boy. But Osono fell ill and died in the 4th year after her marriage. On the night after the funeral of Osono, her little son said that his mama had come back and was in the room upstairs. She had smiled at him but would not talk to him, so he became afraid and ran away. Then some of the family went upstairs to the room which had been Osono's, and they were startled to see, by the light of a small lamp which had been kindled before a shrine in that room, the figure of the dead mother. She appeared as if standing in front of a tansu, or chest of drawers, that still contained her ornaments and her wearing apparel. Her head and shoulders could be very distinctly seen, but from the waist downwards, the figure thinned into invisibility. It was like an imperfect reflection of her, and transparent as a shadow on water. Then the folk were afraid and left the room. Below, they consulted together, and the mother of Osono's husband said, "A woman is fond of her small things, and Osono was much attached to her belongings. Perhaps she has come back to look at them. Many dead persons will do that, unless the things be given to the parish temple. If we present Osono's robes and girdles to the temple, her spirit will probably find rest." It was soon agreed that this should be done as soon as possible. So on the following morning, the drawers were emptied, and all of Osono's ornaments and dresses were taken to the temple. But she came back the next night, and looked at the tansu as before. And she came back also on the night following, and the night after that, and every night. And the house became a house of fear. The mother of Osono's husband then went to the parish temple, and told the chief priest all that had happened, and asked for a ghostly council. The temple was a Zen temple, and the head priest was a learned old man, known as Daigen Osho. He said, "There must be something about which she is anxious, or in or near that tansu." "But we emptied all the drawers," replied the woman. "There is nothing in that tansu." "Well," said Daigen Osho, "tonight I shall go to your house and keep watch in that room and see what can be done. You must give orders that no person shall enter the room while I am watching, unless I call."
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
After sundown, Daigen Osho went to the house and found the room made ready for him. He remained there alone, reading the sutras, and nothing appeared until the hour of the rat. Then the figure of Osono suddenly outlined itself in front of the tansu. Her face had a wistful look, and she kept her eyes fixed upon the tansu. The priest uttered the holy formula prescribed in such cases, and then, addressing the figure by the kaimyo of Osono, said, "I have come here in order to help you. Perhaps in that tansu there is something about which you have reason to feel anxious. Shall I try to find it for you?" The shadow appeared to give assent by a slight motion of the head, and the priest, rising, opened the top drawer. It was empty. Successively, he opened the second, the third, and the fourth drawer. He searched carefully behind them and beneath them. He carefully examined the interior of the chest. He found nothing. But the figure remained gazing as wistfully as before. "What can she want?" thought the priest. Suddenly, it occurred to him that there might be something hidden under the paper with which the drawers were lined. He removed the lining of the first drawer. Nothing. He removed the lining of the second and third drawers. Still nothing. But under the lining of the lowermost drawer he found a letter. "Is this the thing about which you have been troubled?" he asked. The shadow of the woman turned toward him, her faint gaze fixed upon the letter. "Shall I burn it for you?" he asked. She bowed before him. "It shall be burned in the temple this very morning," he promised, "and no one shall read it except myself." The figure smiled and vanished. Dawn was breaking as the priest descended the stairs, to find the family waiting anxiously below. "Do not be anxious," he said to them. "She will not appear again." And she never did. The letter was burned. It was a love letter written to Osono in the time of her studies at Kyoto. But the priest alone knew what was in it, and the secret died with him. This is a Japanese ghost story from a book called Kwaidan, which loosely means ghost story, written by a man named Lafcadio Hearn around the turn of the 20th century. It stood out to me as I was thumbing through some old stuff, because it hits all the right notes for a classic haunting. You have a daughter of a man who really wants the best for his daughter, and so he sends her off. Now, we don't know if that's really what she wanted or not, but that's what happened. She falls in love with someone in this new world and has a son, and she dies a few years later. The ghost is stuck in a room, obviously emotional about something. That's a very common thread, even with ghost stories today. The ghosts remain behind because of some powerful emotional connection that can't be stopped even by death. Notice even her son is afraid of her at this point, even though she's not really doing anything. So the power of the ghost just being there is overwhelming. This reminds me of a couple previous episodes I did, the one about Theorosa's Bridge and another one about the Sally House haunting in Kansas. Were the apparitions stuck around because of an emotional connection to an event or something that happened in that area, and they can't move on? And even if they aren't necessarily doing something to somebody, which isn't always the case, sometimes they get violent, the presence of them is cold and ominous and foreboding. So even though her son recognizes the ghost as his mom, he still can't even stand to be around it. And then lo and behold, what's the reason for the ghost sticking around this room? We learn that there's a letter hidden in one of the drawers, but we never find out what's in it, and the priest never tells anyone. I have a suspicion that what was probably in that letter was something from maybe a lover from her past, or a friend from her past. And her move to Kyoto, although seemingly not a bad one, cut off that relationship and made it no longer possible. Maybe Osono died, feeling unfulfilled, or like she was forced into something that she didn't necessarily want to do. And her connection to that feeling, which was embodied by that letter, didn't let her move on. That's the story for this episode of Lore and Legends. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope it's simple enough for you to retell around a campfire, or in a dark room, and maybe add a twist of your own. Until next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.